Good morning. Certainly desire your prayers again this morning. Once again, depending on God. Without him, be lost. Song asks a question that only we each individually can answer. Do you know him today? If you don't know him, I encourage you highly to get to know him. And if you don't know him in the way that you should know him, I would encourage you to get to know him better this morning. I thank the Lord for that song. I believe it goes along with the thought that the Lord, I believe, is given for today. So I was seeking the Lord this week, wondering what he would have to be brought forth. He brought something back to my mind that he had given, a thought that he had given some time ago. So I desire by the help and grace of God to be able to share it with you this morning. I'm not quite yet going to write the thought on the board yet, but I want us to think about some things before I do. Think about how, just in a general and in a natural sense, how we interact with each other as human beings. Maybe just even when we see somebody, think about maybe different ways that you can interact. Sometimes you can interact without even speaking a word. You know, you can maybe acknowledge somebody. Maybe sometimes you do it with a nod of the head. You know, maybe it's an upward nod of your head, or, you know, sometimes it might just be you wave your hand. That's a way that we interact with each other. We kind of acknowledge one another. And then maybe you don't even do that. Maybe you just make eye contact with somebody. And then that is a way that you just kind of, it's a way of acknowledging them. So that's just kind of in a general sense, we do that with one another. And then sometimes when we do it, maybe it's a little bit more engaging than that. You know, maybe we'll have just a single word greeting, more than just passing by somebody. Maybe it's, you know, you're maybe sitting down with them and you ask them, you say, "How you doing?" You know, something that all of us do that. There's different times that we see people and we'll just express that to them, "How you doing?" You know, I wonder, though, when we do that, is that just a form? Really, it really is. Because you think about, what if somebody, you ask somebody, you say, "How you doing?" What if their response to you is, "Well, how much time you got? You got a couple hours? We can sit down, we can talk about how everything is." You know, it's just something that we do. It's just I don't know if it's a cultural thing or it's just a thing that we just and it's not much really behind it, really, is it? You know, a lot of times when somebody was to really tell us, "Well, this is going on and that's going on and I got this problem and that problem," and most likely we'd say, "Well, I wasn't really interested in all that." But, you know, I think that maybe it's a little bit different when we come to church, isn't it? I believe if you look around at those around you, if you really ask, if somebody asks how you doing, the one that asks you, they have a real concern for you. And they really are wondering how you doing. And they are really concerned that everything is okay. That there's a greater meaning behind it. Right here with those that you worship with. And you know, the most important thing and the most in that way, how's our relationship with God? You know, every Sunday we sing songs, don't we? Every Sunday we pray. Every Sunday myself or Brother Henry or somebody else will stand up here and give a word of the Lord that God has given. You know, the subject is not the same every Sunday, right? Maybe it's a different title that's given. But really, when you think about it, may have mentioned this before, it's centered around the same thing. The focus is the same. And really what it is every Sunday we have an opportunity for a spiritual checkup. It's really what it is. Every Sunday it's a spiritual checkup. It's an opportunity that I can either take advantage of or I can not take advantage of it. So, it's not going to be any different this Sunday. Another opportunity for a checkup this morning. And I'm going to write the thought on the board. It's a serious thought. And there's a genuine care and there's a genuine concern. Anyone that endeavors by God's grace to administer a message or a thought that God has given, it comes from God, first of all. But there is a genuine care and concern for souls. You know, as a vessel that God has chosen to administer his word, I have a concern about each one. How is your relationship with God? It's my, you know, I have a desire that everyone would get to know God for themselves in a greater way. That's a desire that I have. Everyone, and I believe anyone that administers, they have that same desire. So I'm going to write something up on the board this morning. I'm going to write it in two forms. One form is a statement, and the other form is a question. And it's exactly the same words. It's just switching some words around. It takes it from a statement to a question. So, you can confidently say this morning, it's well with my soul. Or if the question, you flip it around, you can ask the question, is it well with my soul? And that's only the question that we each have to answer individually. Yes. You know, it's so important. Sometimes we think about how easy it is that we can get caught up in life. It's like we live in this world and life goes on, and it can so easily just take almost control. It can almost control us, just the things, the cares of this life. But the encouragement this morning is for us to not forget about it. Maybe to keep things in their proper perspective. Yes. You know, again, we have to live in this world. It's something that we all have to do, but we have to keep in the forefront of our minds, I need to make sure above everything that it is well with my soul. Yes. That nothing takes a greater priority than that as I go from day to day. You know why it's so important? I think sometimes it's hard for us to grasp because of I don't think we fully comprehend. We talk about this. Our soul is never dying. Amen. Use that expression, a never dying soul. Another word that's interchangeable with it is our eternal soul. So that's why it's so important. You know, our natural bodies, we're not going to live forever. But the soul is never dying.
Amen.
It's eternal. That's why it's of the utmost importance that I maintain on a daily basis that I can say it is well with my soul. Acts, the 24th chapter and the 16th verse.
And herein do I exercise myself. To
always have a conscience void of offense toward God.
And toward man.
So how can I say yes? I can say it's well with my soul. Because on a daily basis and throughout the day, I make sure that all is well with me and God. Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense, not only toward God, but also toward my fellow man. So what that tells me is that as I go from day to day, if something goes on in my life and maybe God is not pleased with something I said or something that I did, that he can put his finger on it and I'm touched in my conscience and I say, wait a minute, I want to make sure that all is well with my soul, so I'm going to make sure that I get that cleared up right away. It's not something that I'm going to put off. And if God brings something to our minds, there's a reason why he brought it. And in order to maintain my wellness with God, I got to take care of it right away. Well, we live in this life with other human beings, don't we? And all of us, as we go through this life, we always say everything right. We always do everything. We don't, do we? We're human. Again, having a conscious void of offense toward God as well as my fellow man. So it's the same condition. If I said it, God is faithful, isn't he? That's one thing that God is God is faithful. And he will let us know if there's something that he says, wait a minute, think about this here. And you say, oh, ooh, help me, Lord. And then I can just put it off till tomorrow. No. It says always having a conscience void of offense. So in other words, as soon as it's brought to my attention, by the help and by the grace of God, I'm going to fix that thing right away. You know what? I said something that I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And everything is cleared. And then I can say, it's well with my soul. God is faithful. And you know what? God is also clear. And God is plain. And he helps us to know and to understand.
Yes.
Let's break this verse down a little bit. This is how the Amplified version says. It says, therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself. It didn't say other people, right? It's not my responsibility to worry about somebody else. I got to worry about myself. I got to make sure that it's well with my soul. I can't be concerned about what they're supposed to be doing. I exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. As I read it in that amplified version, I don't see any room where there's anything about, you know, you've heard people use this expression. Me and God, we have an understanding. Does that sound like some understanding in that verse? Doesn't sound like it to me. And it even doesn't sound like, well, I can say, well, if this and if that, then everything would be okay. I don't see any room for any kind of excuses in this verse. Mortify my body, deaden my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all aspects, in all respects, to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man.
Yes.
That tells me that if I can't say yes till it's well with my soul, I'm going to do everything that I need to do until I can.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to get a hold of God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because I want to be able to say yes to that question.
Yes. Yes,
and you know what that lets me know? It's possible.
Amen. Yes.
God is a God who's mighty to save. We sing a song, he's mighty to save and he's mighty to keep, isn't he?
Amen.
And he's able to keep us from falling.
Amen.
And present us faultless.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
I don't have to be in my mind, well, is it? Am I? Is it? No. It's a no-so thing. There's not a question about it. Is it well? Yes, it is. To all that I know and understand, it's well. Until God lets me know something. And then it's my responsibility then to do something about it.
That's right.
Because if I don't now, then that's on me. And I can't say it's well. Or I deceive myself. I recognize that this is not easy. But you know what? God can help us to do it. We can't do it on our own. We have to depend on God. He's the only one that can help us to be able to do it. He promised that he'd give grace and glory, didn't he? And he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Walking uprightly means when God lets me know, I'll take care of it right away. That's walking uprightly. It requires a daily diligence and knowing that the great God of heaven has been, is, and always will be faithful to my never dying soul. There's another verse in Philippians, the third chapter and the 14th verse.
I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
I press toward that mark. Now, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, I got to keep on keeping on, right? By the help and by, I'm pressing to get there by the living grace of God. I've got to keep going on until I get to the finish line, right? I can't stop halfway in between. I got to go all the way to the finish line. And in order to get there, I got to take full advantage of every checkup. Why? There's something at stake. I have an eternal crown. I got a prize waiting for me. And the finish line is when I get to heaven, right? So until I get there, I'm not safe. There is literally something out of this world waiting for me. Amen. If I get to the finish line. And it's so much so that I can't even imagine it. Maybe you've read stories about people that have had like near-death experiences and things like that. I believe it's beyond that. Amen. We can't even comprehend and fathom what it's going to be like. Because the only comparison that we have is this world. I could just think about it like this. Think about how intricate God made this world, right? Yes. That he is one day going to burn up. And look around at the world that we live in and look how beautiful it is and how he made it and how it works. It's wonderful, isn't it? If he put that much effort into something that was going to burn up, how much effort do you think he going to put into a place that's going to last forever?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew.
We can't even really grasp that. It's going. I need to get to that finish line. And in order to get there, I got to make sure it's well with my soul. It's an imperishable crown that's waiting for me. And you know, as I press in order to get there, as the scripture said, it is a high calling. Because the calling, the writer said, for a Christian is from heaven to heaven. So I need to get there. I can't allow life to get in my way.
Amen.
There's a parable that we read about in Luke where one, he didn't quite have his priorities lined up. His focus wasn't on his never-dying soul. It was on something else. In Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 16th verse.
And he spake a parable.
Jesus here spoke a parable.
Unto them saying.
Spoke a parable unto them saying. A ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful.
And he thought within himself saying.
He thought within himself saying.
What shall I do?
What am I going to do?
Because I have no room where to bestow my
fruits. And he said,
this will I do.
I'll pull down my barns
and build greater.
And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods.
I will say to my soul,
soul,
thou hast much goods
laid up for many years.
Take thine ease.
Eat, drink,
and be merry.
But God said unto him, thou fool.
This night thy soul
shall be required of thee.
Then who shall those things be
which thou hast provided?
So is he that layeth up treasures for himself. And is not rich
toward God. I recognize that this is quite an extreme example, this parable here. I mean, he was just way off on one side, right? But the point of the parable being is how easily we can be distracted. And why, you know, just thinking about in this parable all the things that were going on, the thought process of this individual. He's saying here, first of all, he had ground that brought forth plenty. And he didn't stop to consider, wow, like he had something to do with it, right? Like, why is my ground being so plenteous? Well, if I have more than what I need, what can I do with it? And in this parable, the thought process was, well, I guess since my barns are too full, I guess I need to build bigger barns. Why not think about, but I got more than what I need. Maybe somebody else needs something. Right. Yeah. I can help them out a little bit. Yeah. So again, this is an extreme example, but it's even in the thought process. Mm-hmm. So even having our focus off for just a short period of time, how it could just lead us down a certain pathway. And even he recognized a soul, right? In the parable, it says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Now you can just take it easy. We can't treat our eternal soul that casually. There's not a time where we can say, I can take it easy. No. Because we have an adversary that's out to get us all the time. So it's of utmost importance for me to always be able to say, it's well with my soul. And as we have these checkups from time to time, you know what the important thing is? To not put things off. Not say, oh, I'll take care of it next Sunday, or next month, or next year. God is faithful. And if God is faithful to us, then we need to reciprocate that faithfulness to him if we have the concern for our soul that we should ought to have. There's a song, it's titled just this, It Is Well With My Soul. Some of the verses of this song, it says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. That's two opposites, isn't it? Peace like a river? You're talking about a calm blessedness versus sorrows like sea billows rowing. The author of this song said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So the encouragement for me is, God can bless and help me to be able to say this no matter the circumstances of my life. Whether I'm down in the valley or if I'm up on the mountaintop, either condition, it can be well with my soul. All can be well. Whether it's sunshine or rain, if it's joy or sadness, if it's good times or bad, it doesn't matter what my current condition is. It can be well with my soul. And I have the privilege to be able to talk to God about it. If I am in a condition maybe that's not so pleasant, I can go to God and say, Lord, I need some help here. And he'll be faithful to us. That second verse says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. That word buffeted means like it's basically mean like in a relentless attack. You know, sing the song about the fiery darts flying, thinking when you feel like the devil's just coming all at all angles. It can still be well with your soul.
Yes.
Though trials and tests are gonna come, I know that God loves me, he cares for me, and he died for me so that I could have the victory.
Amen.
I can say it's still well, even in the midst of all of that.
Yes.
The third verse says, my sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. It is well with my soul. Isn't it wonderful that God took all those and he nailed them on the cross? He's not one that throws them in our face. Remember what you did? That's under the blood.
Amen.
It's nailed to the cross. It's well with my soul.
Yes.
But you did this. It doesn't matter. God forgave me.
Yes.
And it's well with my soul. My past don't have to follow me. I'm a new creature now. I'm a new man by the help and grace of God. And Lord, haste the day when thy faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. One of these days, when Jesus comes back, you talking about it being well then, that's when we'll really be able to say, it's well now. It's well now, and it's going to be well forevermore. And I don't have to worry about all the trials and tests of life, all the darts the enemy might be throwing at me. That'll be no more. It's going to be really well then.
Amen.
Can we say this morning that it's well? It's well with my soul. It's a question that each of us has to answer for ourselves. I'm going to share a little bit. Maybe you've heard this story. The author of that song, It Is Well With My Soul, Horatio Spafford.
Yes.
You want to say, how could you pin words like that? Let me give you a little bit of what happened in his life. He was a lawyer and a senior partner at a large law firm. He and his wife were supporters and friends of Dwight L. Moody. And he lived in the Chicago area, and he had invested in real estate in North Chicago in the spring of 1871. In October of 1871, the Great Fire of Chicago reduce the city to ashes, destroying most of his investments. It's well with my soul. That, even that, just in itself, seemed like that could, it could discourage you, but his hope wasn't in that. There was more that happened in his life. 2 years later, after the devastation of the Great Chicago Fire, his family planned a trip to Europe. Late business demands, some zoning issues, kept him from joining his wife and four daughters on the vacation to England, where their friend D.L. Moody was going to be preaching. So they went on ahead of him. November 22nd of 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on a steamship, another ship struck their vessel, killing 226 people, including all four of Horatio's daughters, a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 18-month-old. His wife survived the tragedy. And when she got to the destination, she sent him a telegram that said, "Saved alone." So shortly afterwards, Horatio met to meet his grieving wife. And while he was traveling there, the ship passed over where the tragedy had taken place. And that's where he wrote the words to that song. In the probably one of the lowest points of his life.
Right.
Seemed like just everything crumbling around him, that he could still say, "It's well with my soul."
Yes.
Can we say that this morning? It's well. Circumstances are what they are. Life is what it is. Everything going on, is it well? If it's not well, it's time to get it well. God has everything that we need this morning for us to be able to say, "It is well with my soul." My encouragement to each and every one of us is, if it's not well, get it well. And if it is well, endeavor by the grace of God to maintain it on a daily basis. And when God comes along and he puts his finger on things, take care of it right away.
Amen.
Don't put them off.
Yes.
It's my desire, by the help and grace of God, to be able to say, to always be able to say, "It is well with my soul." I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.